Well, if you're happy to be in church, say amen. Amen. I'm glad that we've got a God, even though sometimes when we can't track Him, we can trust Him. And I'm thankful for that this morning. If you've brought your Bibles with you, I ask you to take them and turn them to the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be in chapter number 6 this morning. Matthew chapter number 6 is our text for today. We'll be looking at the Sermon on the Mount this morning. Very familiar verses to everybody. We read them very often, I'm sure. But in Matthew chapter number 6 is where we'll start today. And if you find your place in verse number 5, that's where we'll begin reading. We'll read down to verse number 13. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. And beginning in verse number 5, He says this. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." And I'm thankful for that this morning, that our God knows our needs. Verse 9, the Bible says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And let the church say, amen. Father, we thank You this morning for the ability to be in Your house. God, I thank You for the good singing that we've had towards You this morning. I pray that it was a sweet-smelling savor to You. God, we thank You for giving us air to breathe that we might praise You. But God, now I pray that as we come and we take Your Word, God, I pray that You will open up our hearts. And I pray that the Word of God might be able to fall on soft ground this morning, that it might bring forth fruit in our lives. God, we haven't come in here to hear a man speak, to hear somebody, but God, we've come to hear from You. So God, I pray that as I'm preaching this morning, I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to every single heart in this place today. God, You know every need in here. God, You know every burden in here. God, You know every single person in here. So God, I pray the Holy Spirit will minister to each and every person. God, I pray You'll cleanse me of self and cleanse me of sin and fill me with Your Spirit and use me to glorify only You. And Lord, we praise You and we thank You for all You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You know, the greatest privilege that you and I have as Christians is the ability to pray. But yet the most underused privilege we have as Christians is prayer. Have you ever been to Lifeway Christian Store? It's one of my favorite stores in the whole world. I can go in there and just shop around for 2 hours. But if you go to Lifeway at every store, whether you're in Gastonia, Hickory, whichever Lifeway you go to, you can go to the book section, and the biggest section you'll find in Lifeway is the section on prayer. And all these books are great. I've probably got half of them in my office over here on prayer. You know, these books, they teach us how to pray. They'll tell you when to pray. They'll tell you what to say. They'll tell you how to move heaven. They'll tell you how to get your prayers answered. They'll tell you all this stuff, and that's all good. But that's not the greatest need in our churches today. The greatest need for our churches concerning prayer is for us to actually pray. You know, I'll let you into my life a little bit just for a few seconds. The biggest temptation that I face every single day is the temptation not to pray. That is the biggest temptation I face every single day. The devil does not mess with me about reading this Bible. He lets me do that all day. But when I finally decide that I want to pray, that I want to make time to prayer, that's the biggest temptation the devil throws at me and says, "Nah." You want to know why? Because the devil believes in the power of prayer. And he knows when you and I as Christians begin to pray, not only do lives around us start to get changed, but our lives get changed too. And that's the one thing the devil does not want. is for God to reveal His power to me and you. Now, I'm not much for stats, but stats show that 85% of the people that go to church every Sunday don't pray more than 5 minutes per day. And see, that's not a shock to me, because you wonder why our country is the way it is. Can I tell you that our country is the way it is because our church is the way it is. Our country is a direct result of the church in America today. The church was strong back then, and that's why the country was strong. Now the church is beginning to weaken down, and that's why our country is beginning to weaken down. But you know, Charles Spurgeon is one of my favorite preachers to study, and this is what he says concerning prayer. He says, prayer pulls the rope below and the bell rings in the ears of God. He says, some rarely touch the rope. Others give it an occasional ring. But he who wants to win heaven is the one who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continually with all of his power. One man said this. He said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. In other words, in order for you and me to be alive as human beings, we need to breathe. He says, in order for us to be alive as Christians, we need to pray. The greatest Christians you'll ever meet your entire life are those people that spend time alone with God every day. And every single person in here knows a dear saint of God who just has the sweetest spirit about him. And you know why they have that sweet spirit about them? Because they spend time with God every day. Just them and God. And that's it. So, the question I would ask this morning is, how often do you pray? And of course, the occasional answer is, well, I don't have time for prayer. I work 8 hours a day. I do this and I do that, and that's understandable. So the next question I would ask is, how important is prayer to you? That's really the most important question. How important is prayer to you? Because just like me, whatever is important to me, I'm going to make time for it. Ask Monica. Basketball season started a few weeks ago. North Carolina comes on at least twice a week, usually 7:30. If Saturdays, they play at 12. But Tuesday, I think they're playing at 7:30. And you know where I'm going to be sitting at 7:30? Right in front of the TV. We ain't going out to eat. We ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be sitting in front of the TV, and I'm going to sit there at 7:20 because I want to watch the pregame too. And that annoys her. But you know what? That's important to me. It's important for me to sit there and watch the games. And I make time for it. I schedule stuff around it. And you see, whatever's important to us, you're just like me. You make time for it. And see, if prayer is important to us, we'll make time for it. If it becomes important to us, we will make time for it daily. You say, well, who can pray? The biggest thing that I've heard since I got called to preach a few years ago, is, especially when I was in college on the baseball team, people would walk up to me and say, they call me Reverend. They say, Reverend, can you pray for me? They said, I know your prayers get heard more than mine. And I would look at them and I'd say, I'll pray for you. But just because of my occupation doesn't mean my prayers get heard more than anybody else's. You say, well, who can pray? If you are a child of God, your prayers get heard the same amount as a preacher's does. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can pray and God will hear you. That's what's awesome about being a Christian. Because when you come to the foot of the cross and believe in that one who died for us, who resurrected for us, the ground's level at the foot of the cross. There's no better, there's no worse. The ground is completely level if you've been to the cross. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Anybody can pray. Also, the question that I've got often is, well, how do you do it? How do you do this praying stuff? When I do it, I just don't feel right doing it. And Jesus here, on the Sermon on the Mount, He gives the most basic principles to Christian living in all the Bible. If you want to know how to live as a Christian, just read the Sermon on the Mount, and He gives the most basic principles that we have. He tells us about giving, fasting, obedience, worry, and even entering into heaven through the straight gate and the narrow way. But there's three great lessons that you and I learn here about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to give them to you this morning, and I'll be done. So this morning, I want to give you the first principle of prayer. And the first one is private prayer. The first principle of prayer is private prayer. Verse 5 says this. Jesus is speaking and He says, but when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are. Jesus wasn't playing around. He says, "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they might be seen of men." And he says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now, back in Jesus' day, the Jews were praying three times a day, usually 6 a.m., 12 p.m., and 6 p.m. they would pray. And see, I can relate to this because I was in Israel back in November. And three times a day, that call to prayer would go off for the Muslims. 3 a.m., that thing would go off and it'd scare you to death. It'd wake you up and you'd have to sit there and listen to it for an hour. Can I tell you, when we were out touring and that call to prayer went off, if you were a Muslim, you found you a place right where you are and you started praying. Some of them would start praying and you could hear them from miles away. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. And he says the reason they're praying is so that everybody walking on the street will look at them and say, "Phew, boy, they're spiritual. Boy, they're praying good over there." Jesus says, you don't have to be like them. He says, they're hypocrites. He says, they have their reward. They just want to be seen about everybody. And they want people to look at them and say, boy, that was good. Now, define what a good prayer is. Define what a good prayer is. See, Jesus was telling the story in Luke chapter number 18 about a Pharisee and a tax collector that came to the temple. And the Pharisee's prayer sounded really good. He walked into the temple and said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I don't commit adultery. I don't commit fornication. I don't turn away from my wife. I don't turn away from your law. And I thank you that you've made me like I am today. And I obey you." Sounds pretty good. But that poor tax collector walked in and said, and he looked straight down. He couldn't even look up. He said, "Father, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Do you know whose prayer got heard? The tax collector." Because he was saying it from his heart. He wasn't telling God all this stuff about himself that sounded good. The tax collector just went to him and said, "This is what's in my heart. Have mercy on me because I'm a sinner." Jesus said that man walked away justified, not the Pharisee. By the way, these Muslims, they pray three times a day, every single day. You know what? They're praying to a God with a little g that's dead, that hasn't heard them since they started praying. And yet you and I have a God who's alive, who hears us every time we bow our head. And how often does He find us praying? They pray three times a day to a God that's dead, to a God that can't hear them, if you want to call Him a God. We've got a God who listens every single time we pray. Jesus says in verse 5, He says, don't even be like them. He said, they got their reward. But then verse 6, He goes on, He says, but you, when you pray, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Jesus says, don't be like them, but find you a closet and enter in and start praying. Psalm 91 is one of my favorite psalms in all the Bible. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he's talking about that secret place. And Jesus is not saying that it's not good to pray with your kids. Every parent in here, when your kids were growing up with you, you ought to pray with your kids. If you have a spouse, you ought to pray with your spouse. But there is something about just getting alone and it just being you and God and praying to Him all by yourself. If the only time you and I meet with God is on Sunday at church, you are missing out on one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian. One of the greatest times I've ever had in this life is me when I used to live at my parents' house. I'd go upstairs and I'd go cry out to God and God would show up in that little bitty room. Some of the greatest times I've ever had as a Christian is just me and God. One man said the secret of praying is praying in secret. Jesus said find that secret place and go pray to God there. Let me ask you, do you have a place at your home where you do that? I remember back in 2015, I believe it was, I would listen to Charles Stanley every single Monday. Pull out my iPad and listen to his sermon every Monday. And I remember he preached on this same passage about entering into his closet and praying to God in secret. And he said one of the biggest things that changed his life was he found that place at his house. And he went to it daily and he started to pray. And that convicted me. And I said, well, I need a place. If it changed his life, it can probably change mine too. I said, well, I need a place. So I started to look around my home. He said, find somewhere that's dark. Find somewhere where you have no distractions. Because if you're like me, as soon as you start praying, all these thoughts start coming in. Boy, North Carolina plays at 7:30 tonight. What we don't have for dinner? Jesus says, find that place where it's quiet. And Dr. Stanley said the same thing. So I started looking around in my parents' house. And the only place that I could find that was dark that had no windows was the bathroom. So every night I said, God, if this is the place, I'll go do it. I'd go in there every night, and I started that day by day. Can I tell you? It radically changed my life. Can I tell you? If I would not have found that secret place in my home, I don't believe I would have found God's purpose and plan for my life. It was in that secret place that God said, here's my plan for you, here's my purpose for you, and here's my will for you. How important is finding God's will for your life? If it's important, you'll find that secret place. Because that secret place is where God reveals so much to me and you about His plan for our life. See, Jesus did this often. He went all the way by Himself and said, I'm going away and I'm going to pray. Mark 1:35, the Bible says, and rising up a great while before day, He departed out into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus got up before everybody did and said, I'm out of here, I'm going to pray. And in Matthew 14, you'll find the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee in the boat, and the Bible says that Jesus is by Himself up on the mountain praying. If Jesus needed prayer, so do we. And we got to do it by ourselves in private, something that God wants us to do. And I'm not saying that it's not good to pray in your car on the way to work. That's a good thing. I'm not saying that it's not good to pray with your kids every night before they go to bed. That's a good thing. Or as soon as you wake up, sitting on the side of your bed. But God wants us to Himself. God wants us all by Himself. Most people are awake for 16 hours a day out of the 24. Most people are. You get 8 hours of sleep. That's normal. Most people are up 16 hours a day. How many of those minutes and hours do you just give to God all by Himself? All by yourself? I can tell you this, and you can listen if you want to, but I'm telling you, if you want your life to be radically changed, transformed, and for God to do a work in your life like He's never done before, go home today and say, I'm going to find that place. And I'm going to go to it daily to where I can be uninterrupted and I can just sit with God all by myself. Can I tell you, you'll start out and you'll probably stay there for 2 minutes asking God to bless your family, bless your life, bless your wife and husband. Can I tell you, about 2 months later, you'll be there 2 hours. You won't even know how much time's gone by because God starts to move in that secret place. It'll transform your life more than you'll ever imagine. That's what Jesus tells us to do. He says, when you pray, go into private, go into secret, go into your closet and shut the door. And He says, God will reward you openly. Jesus just told us that there is rewards in praying. You'll get a reward if you pray. And I'm not sure what the reward will be, whether it's peace that passes all understanding, whether it's the presence of God that goes with you, whether it's the power of God to do the will for His life. What it is, He'll reward you for praying privately. So the first principle that, there's a lot of P's in here today. There's the first principle that Jesus teaches us is private prayer. Number two, I want you to see that it's purposeful prayer. Purposeful prayer. I want you to think about this. Once you find that secret place, once you start praying to God daily, the greatest question that I can ask you is, what's the purpose for you praying? What is the purpose that you pray? What is your motive for praying? And I'll give you some of the reasons why we pray. You might think I'm in your head because these are some of the reasons that sometimes I had for praying. Here they are. To just get it off our conscience that I prayed one time today. Sometimes that's the only reason we pray. To get it off our conscience. To try to go and impress God. We can't impress God with the things that we say. He just wants our heart. When something is wrong, we just go and ask God to fix it. That's our main reason. When something goes wrong, we really start praying. Or, if you're like me, you want to get God in on your plans. Say, God, bless what I want to do. Bless my plans. I'll be honest now. We're in church. Some of us only pray really hard and get to prayer when something goes wrong in our life. And we just want God to fix it. That's when we really pray more than we ever do. And if that's our main purpose for us praying, we're not doing what Jesus told us to do. For Jesus says in verse number 7, He says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. In other words, you don't have to go to God and tell Him all this stuff and think that you're going to impress Him with your words and say all this scripture and do all this. He doesn't care anything about that. Verse 8 says, Be not like them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. That's one of the verses that I laid onto when I was praying to God every day that God would place us in the house that He wanted us to have. I said, God, I don't have to tell You that we need a house. You already know that I need one. And that's one of the verses that we held onto. But did you just think about that? God knows everything you need before you ask Him. Some people will ask, well, what's the point in praying? If He already knows what you need, then why are you going to ask Him? And that shows me right there, the main purpose for prayer is not to ask God the things that we need. It's not bad to ask God the things that we need. Jesus tells us to do that, but that's not the main purpose for it. You say, well, what is it? The main purpose for prayer is not to give God my will, it's for me to surrender to His will. That's what prayer is. Jesus bowed down in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, not my will be done, but thine be done, as He was praying to God. It's not to tell God what I want Him to do, but to ask God what He wants me to do. Be honest, how many of our prayers, and we come to God and say, God, this is what I need You to do. God, this is what I need You to do. When's the last time you went to God and said, God, what do You want me to do? Can I tell you, that is a prayer that our God answers every single time. When you say, God, what do You want me to do? He reveals His will to you and me. In Acts chapter number 9, Paul got knocked down on the Damascus road and he said, who are you? He said, well, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And the next thing Paul said, he said, well, what do you want me to do? And Jesus told him exactly what He wanted him to do. Can I tell you, when you and I ask what God wants us to do, He tells us. As a prayer, He answers every single time. And verse 8 also tells me that when you go to God, you don't tell Him anything that He already does not know. So prayer is not going to God to inform Him. Prayer is going to God for Him to inform us. Jeremiah 33:3 and says this, call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. He said, you're not coming to Me to tell Me something that I don't know. I'm an all-knowing God. But you're coming to Me that I might show you things that you don't know. See, prayer is not just you and I talking to God. It's also us listening to God. Some of the greatest things that God will ever speak to you is just when you're by yourself in prayer. He'll tell you exactly what He wants to do, what He wants you to do on your job tomorrow. He'll tell you exactly what He wants you to do with this church in serving. But the main purpose of prayer, as I said, is not to give God my will, but to surrender to His will. It's not to give God what my plans are and say, God bless my plans, but to say, God, I want Your plans, and I want You to reveal them to me. David said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He said, God will show you the path that you need to take every single time. Jesus says the principles of prayer. It's private prayer. You find that closet. You find that secret place at your home. And you begin to grow with God like you've never grown before. If you want more out of your relationship with God, you find that private place. But you also go and you have a purpose. To not go there and say, God, this is what I want. God, this is what I need You to do. But say, God, what do You want me to do? What do You want me to pray for? What's Your will for my life? And number 3, I know I'm going quick because I'm hungry. I want you to see the third principle for prayer. It's persevering prayer. Persevering prayer. And this is the greatest need for Christian prayer. It's perseverance. Think about this. How often do you get a prayer burden on your heart and you pray for it for 3 days in a row and that fourth day comes and say, I guess God ain't doing it. And you don't pray for it anymore because He didn't do it. The greatest need for Christians to pray is to show perseverance in our prayer. See, when we stop praying just because God didn't answer, that's not showing any faith at all. Faith says, although I can't see God answering this right now, I know He will. Although I can't see God moving, I know He's doing something behind the scenes. So I'm going to keep praying. Listen to what He said in Matthew 7 and verse 7. That's the verse up there. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto you. If you have your King James Bible, that asketh with the ETH means a continual asking. That's what ETH means in your Bible. A continual seeking and a continual knocking. Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter number 11. There's a man whose friend shows up to his house. He says, "Hey man, I'm on a journey and I don't have any food. I need some bread." And he says, "Well, I don't have any either. Let me go to my best friend who is my neighbor and ask him, and I know he'll give it to me." This man runs to his neighbor in the middle of the night and he starts knocking on the door. And he says, "My friend has come on his journey and he has no bread. I need some bread to give him, and I know you have some." And the man looks at him and he says, "Are you kidding me? I'm asleep." You can go read it in your Bible. He didn't say exactly that, but he's sleeping. He says, "My sons are asleep." He says, "I'm not getting up right now." And the man says he just kept on knocking. He says, "I need it. I need it, and I'm not going away until I get it." And he kept on knocking. And the Bible says because he was persistent, because he was perseverant, the man walked downstairs and gave him the bread. And Jesus says, "Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. And keep on knocking, and it'll be opened unto you." See, faith says, "I'm knocking, and it ain't open yet. So I'm going to keep on knocking because I know He's going to open because He promised to do it." Let me tell you this story, and I'll be done. Has anybody ever heard of the preacher whose name is Mays Jackson? Anybody ever heard of him? All right, well, he was a preacher up in the mountains of West Virginia back in the 70s, 80s, and even the 90s. I listened to him very often on the internet. But he was an evangelist also that traveled all over the Southeast preaching revivals all the time, a great preacher. And he tells this story, and it's one of the greatest testimonies I've ever heard on persevering prayer. And it's helped me already just the past week. He tells this story that he went to a church, I think it was probably in West Virginia, and he was preaching a revival. And Monday, he preached on this verse. I think I got it up there. Matthew 18:19. He preached on this verse, and this is what the verse says. Jesus says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. He said if two of you will just get together and agree on something and pray for it, God will do it. And that's what he preached on. And he said he was back at the back shaking hands at the end of the service on Monday. He said the little 12-year-old boy walks up to him. He says, "Brother Mays, do you really believe what you preached tonight?" He says, "Well, of course, it's in the Word of God. Of course I believe it. I preached it." And he says, "Well, good." He says, "Because a few months ago, my daddy ran out on me and my mama." He said he's been at the bar every single night drinking it up, and he's throwing his life away. And he left us. And he said, "I'm going to start praying that God will bring him back to my family. That God will get him saved because he needs to be saved." Brother Mays says, "That's good." He says, "I'll be one if you'll be two." He says, "If two of us shall agree, you said that God would do it." He said, "I'll be one and you be two." Brother Mays said, "I'll do it." And as he was walking away, the little boy turned around and said, "Oh, by the way, I'm praying that he'll do it by Friday." Mays looked at him and said, "Phew." And Mays said, every night he went home and he began to pray. He said, "God, don't you let this little boy down. He is believing you, and I'm believing you. Don't you let him down." Tuesday came, the little boy would sit on the front row every time. He said, every time he'd hear a commotion in the back, he'd turn around to see if it was his daddy. Every time he'd turn around, nothing. He said, Mays would be up there preaching. He'd stand up and say, Matthew 18:19, amen, preacher, and sit back down. Wednesday came, the same thing. He'd turn around, nothing. Thursday came, he'd turn around, nothing. Well, Friday came, the invitation after the service came. It was the last day of their revival, and that little boy walked up the place, and he says, Matthew 18:19, "I'm one, you're two." He said, "I still believe God can do it." And Brother Mays said he just bowed his head and said, "God, don't you let this little boy down." And that little boy went back and sat down. And Mays tells a story. I'm about to run a lap. He said one of the greatest things that's ever happened to him in his ministry is he was standing right here in a church like this. The doors were right there during the invitation. And he saw the doors fly open. And this man in scraggly clothes didn't look like he had been to church, didn't look like he had taken a bath in 6 months, came walking down the aisle. And that little boy turned around because he heard the doors open. And he said, "Brother Mays, that's my daddy!" And his daddy walked down the aisle to Brother Mays and said, "I don't know what I got to do, but I need to get right with God." You want to know why? Because that little boy didn't stop praying. He said, "I ain't going to stop till God does it." And that man came walking down the aisle and said, "God did it." And that man got back together with his wife and raised his child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because he didn't stop. Can I tell you? There are some people in your life that if you don't pray for them, nobody will. You may have a husband or a wife, a child, a grandparent back home, that if you don't pray for them, nobody will. And God has placed them in your path because you're the only one that can. And God can do it. Can I tell you, as I stand up here and preach week after week after week after week, I can see it in everybody's eyes. Everybody has a burden on their heart. And can I tell you, right just then, as I told that story, the Holy Spirit sat right beside you. And He said, "Why don't you be like that little boy? Why don't you pray and never stop?" Can I tell you what we'll do this morning? This is what God's led me to do all week, and I've prayed about it the past 7 days. This is what we're going to do. I want to obey God. Because there's people on this side, and there's people on this side. Who's got somebody maybe back home that don't know Jesus. You've got somebody in your family that don't know Jesus. Can I tell you, you may even have a situation. It doesn't have to be a person. You could have a situation that you're begging God to change. Can I tell you what I want you to do? Is I want you to look at Matthew 18:19 and believe it. And believe it. That if two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Miss Nan, if you could come up and start playing softly for me. This is what we're going to do, and then we'll go into the invitation. Somebody out here has got a burden for somebody. And I brought these note cards just for you. I don't have to be your two, but I sure would love to be your two. Because I tell you, I will not stop praying if you don't. You've got a burden on your heart, and I won't stop praying if you don't. And can I tell you the greatest joy that I'll have being at this church is one day when you call me and say, "Look what God did." That's the greatest joy I'll ever have. Is when you called me and said, "Because you prayed and because I prayed, God did it. And we didn't stop." And then we'll both run a lap around this church. Somebody's got a burden over here. And somebody's got a burden over here. And I've got a note card. And if you'll write it down and you want me to be your two, you hand it to me. And every day I'll pray and you'll pray. And we'll look back and say, "Look what God did." So come on out. Come on out. I know somebody has one. God can do it. Believe Him. He hadn't lost any power since. Two. But if you'll be one and you want me to be your two, just hand me your note card, or you can do it with your spouse, either one. But if you want me to be two, you write it down and hand it to me. And I promise you right here, standing in God's house, that I will not stop praying for this every single day if you don't. And we'll look back and say, "Look what God did." And we'll do it together. You wouldn't believe this, but God's already answered one. I didn't bring this out because I didn't have enough faith to do it. But as I was preparing this message this week, on Monday, I wrote on my prayer request list, I said, God, I don't want to preach this message and nothing happened. I said, God, I want at least 10 people to walk down to this altar and start writing something. I've got at least 30. God is still on the throne. And if you'll just ask Him, can I tell you, as your pastor, every single day, I'll uplift every single one of these. But can I tell you, the Bible says it's got to be two. So I want you to make the commitment today also. Musicians, you can come forward. If you want to find you a place on this altar and say, God, I don't want to go a day without praying for this right here because I'm desperate. And if you don't do it, nobody can. If you don't do it, it won't happen. So God, I need you to do it because I can't. I love each and every single one of you. And can I tell you, these things right here are something that I look at in your faces every single week when tears start to run down your eyes. Because everybody's got something in their family or in their friends that they're burdened about. Can I say, God is able. And don't stop. And I won't stop. Father, I love You this morning. And I thank You that You're a God that still answers prayer. I thank You that You're a God that still does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I thank You, O God, that You're still able to change lives today through the Word of God and through prayer. And God, today I believe in the power of prayer because I've seen Your hand move before. I've prayed prayers that nobody else in this world has ever heard, and You've done it. And God, that shows me right there that we can have confidence that You hear us. And if we have confidence that You hear us, we can have confidence that You're going to do it according to Your will. Father, we exercise faith in You this morning that You're still a God that's on the throne and that You're still a God that answers the prayers of Your people. So Father, I pray for those people out here this morning. And God, if there's still one person in here that doesn't know You, I pray today one more prayer would be answered. They come to know You as their personal Lord and Savior. God, I pray that You'll change us, transform us, and help us to be the people You want us to be. And God, help us to never stop praying. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.